Coach Peggy Show. All things wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. How many people in your life have told you you're half of this or half of that? Are you settling? No more. This show is about all things, and you deserve it. It's about your money, your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. We extinguish excuses and raise the bar to all things possible. It's time to use your ATM, you know, your all things mindset. Welcome to the Coach Peggy Show. Bold, badass, and never half in.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I am so excited. I'm so glad that you're here tonight with me. I am Coach Peggy, and this is the Coach Peggy Show. I am here with two gorgeous ladies and a gorgeous man, just going to say it. So on All Things Wellness, you heard us. We talk about, there's 24 different spokes in the wellness wheel that I talk about. And why did I bring all these people together? Because they hit so many of the spokes. It's exciting. We're going to talk today about love and some relationships and actually health and well-being. It's going to be amazing. This is a number one best-selling book on Amazon, only been out for a few days, Crappy to Happy. And I decided to dedicate my whole month of October to Crappy to Happy. Why? Because it's COVID still going on and I'm mad. So Crappy to Happy is what we're going to talk about. If you have not caught the first episode, because there's going to be four, last week we had Kat Cannabis. I always say, she said, say it like cannabis. Cannabis, Frank Zaccari and Teresa Velarde. So hop on, you can catch us, YouTube, Transformation Talk Radio, wherever you find podcasts. All right, you guys, first of all, I am going to tell you kind of the lay of the land. What I usually do is do a quote when I think about my guests and I think about what we're going to talk about. I find a quote that means something to me, and here is the one I want to share with you today. Being happy doesn't mean that everything is perfect. It means that you decided to look beyond perfections. So that's Gerard Way, and that's what we're going to talk about here today. Okay, here we go. So I'm going to, yay, Catherine says yay. For those of you guys who are out walking and you can't see their lovely faces, just remember that you can see their gorgeous faces live, visually and audio. You can hop onto Facebook. So just so you know, they're all in the house. And we're going to talk about Laura Staley right now. So I hope you have your mugs. Do you have your mugs? Catherine's in the house. Catherine Power, she has her mug. I have mine. Laura's standing up with her water. Oh, yours says believe. Mm-hmm. Believe in your, oh. What is yours, Mike? Yours says grandpa. Oh, yeah. Yes. And goofy and all sorts of other words. Mike Patakos here, Laura Staley. All right, so I'm going to do some bios. We all say, I know when people read my bio, I'm like, gag. Huh? But we got to. We've got to. So let's talk about Laura. She earned her PhD in political science at Ohio State University. Doesn't that sound delicious, you guys? Political science. Laura's like, woohoo. Okay, she is the founder of Cherish Your World. Laura is also passionately, she helps people thrive by guiding them to a holistic transformation. Space, heart, life, all of those things. And so this is what's fascinating. You're certified from the School of Feng Shui. Like, seriously, there's a School of Feng Shui. If you guys can't see her because you're driving around drinking some Starbucks, she's standing. And I said before we started, I'm like, Laura, are you doing jumping jacks? And she's like, these are Jerry Jacks. Okay. I was like, oh. So if you can't see her, that's what she's doing. She's standing up. Okay. She has three books. Live Inspired, then there's Transform Your Life with Feng Shui, and then there's Cherish Your World with gift book of 100 tips, right? I mean, seriously, 100 tips. And then Crappy to Happy. Laura, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to the crazy
place. Fabulous to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. You know, yours, I always say with this book, first of all, there's 30 authors, which is so profound. And each of the shows, so I have four shows this month, three authors on each show. And I like to mention which section or chapter they're kind of in, because a lot of you guys don't know each other or haven't spent a lot of time with each other. And so you're like, haven't seen the book. Some of you haven't even got a copy of your own book yet. So Laura is in the divorce, the love, divorce, and relationship section. Her story, you guys, her story, it's going to relate to all of us. I was like, online dating or the old-fashioned way of dating. I'm like, I got to have this girl on the show. I just have to. And have her, Mike and Catherine together is going to be amazing. So let's just kick this off, first of all. Did somebody sign you up for the online dating thing? I mean, let's talk about how this happened. Come on, girl.
Yeah. So I was at that, what I describe as that panting stage of, had been single for a while. And I had a friend who said, oh, Laura, just get on this. You can do it. You know? And of course I don't know what I'm doing. I really need a Sherpa guide, but I sit down and I think, okay, I'm going through this process. And it asks for my, user, do you want me to just jump in? You know, like it asked me for
Laura, do not, we jump in here. We go off road, Mike and I, Catherine, we're going to sit back, have a sip right. of you here.
Oh my God.
You go.
Yeah.
You so make a username and go on from
oh
here.
My God, right. So it asks for, you know, what I'm looking for in a gentleman. And all I put is somebody who will make me laugh. Like, what am I thinking? And then it comes to the part where it's asking me about my handle. And I sat back and I just reflected and I thought, oh gosh, you know, I just love the poetry of Mary Oliver. And one of my favorite poems is titled Wild Geese. So I made my handle Wild Geese MO for Mary Oliver 11, because that's a cool number. And I literally sat there thinking the dude out in internet land is totally going to get the code, right? That MO is Mary Oliver, right?
Oh, and, yeah. Totally. Guys, you know, totally going to get the poetry thing.
Right,
oh, yeah,
right,
for sure.
Right.
For sure.
And I'm going through da 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 da. And of course, you know, send. And I don't even know if I've put it out there, but it's gone out there. And the next day, my computer is blown up and it freaks me out. But I get brave and I open this one up that comes in from Passion Play 69. And again, I sit there going, oh, he was born in 1969. That's cool. And so he just, you know, he's riffing. He's like, oh, I'm a, you know, I drink socially. I love the Buckeyes, the Ohio State Buckeye football. I enjoy chocolate, especially dark chocolate. Hiking in the woods is really cool. Do you like s'mores? And so I'm replying. I'm engaged. I thought, okay. Yeah, I like hiking in the woods. I don't drink, but I have plenty of friends who, you know, have a glass of wine. No problem with the social drinking. You know, honestly, I'm gluten-free. I haven't had a s'more in years, but I love chocolate and marshmallows, you know, and I put 10, you know, and then I'm out on a run the next day and I'm like, Passion Play 69. And of course it completely downloads like the meaning. I'm like, oh my God, okay, really? Oh. And so then later on that day, I'm meeting with a friend and I'm explaining the whole situation to her. And she's like, wait a minute. You put wild? You don't put wild in anything on the internet with dudes. Oh my gosh, we've got to look up, you know, Urban Dictionary. And I'm like, what's Urban Dictionary? And she's like, okay, she explains it's a dictionary for slang on the internet. And, you know, and of course I've figured out Passion Play 69, but she's looking up wild geese. She's looking up s'mores and oh my gosh. And I she's like, okay,
you guys you must see shut the host that just down. Banged her head.
You must shut that down right now. Like go home right now and shut that down, which I did. And then I realized I really, really, really seriously needed to do the deep inner work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, started that. And, you know, as I was doing some of that deep inner work, meditating, connecting with what I call the inner fly on the wall, that
yeah,
deep part in me,
like that
inner knowing, some people call it the witness consciousness, you know, that part of us that watches us do us. I'm hearing the words come out. I know my hands are flying all around because I talk with my hands, you know, right? It's just, I had an aunt who was deaf, and I think that's just cerebral palsy, and so it was a way to communicate. She knew a little bit of sign language. Okay, I digress.
Okay, hey,
back to the
we're having fun. No worries. You said you don't drink. I just have to check. Okay.
All right. Maybe I need to. So at any rate, I did date a gentleman for about 6 months. And we met the old-fashioned way. You know, we were business networking and, you know, slowly built that know, like, and trust. And, you know, we dated. And in that experience, I just noticed that I had engaged my pattern, which was to attract somebody who wasn't absolutely valuing my worth and dignity. And that was inside of me. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like this mirror, right? Everybody's a mirror. Everybody shows up as a teacher. And to this day, I'm so grateful for the teacher that he was. And one of the last things that, So internally I did flags on the play. I never did my old pattern of cajoling, manipulating, getting mad, none of that. I just watched. I watched myself. I watched myself go silent. I watched him do his thing. I let him totally be himself. I never interfered. Yeah. Hold my hand. Oh my God, it touches like my language of love. And I was like, I'm asking him and I'm like, okay, I'm not training another man to just like naturally hold my hand. And then I created this, he had a birthday coming up and I created this collage because I had really been paying attention to all the things, many things that he loved, you know, where he grew up, the car that he loved driving, da-la-la. And I brought it to this gathering of friends at a restaurant and he just looked at it and he said, wow, you've just got a lot of time on your hands.
I read that and I was like, oh dude, peace out. I can't believe you still stay.
Yeah. Right? And I literally had friends when I told them the story, they were like, you didn't walk out of the restaurant. And I said, no, I didn't. And I got silent and I watched it. And another of his friends just came right over because he saw all the images on there and the words, you know, faith and family and all like his core values. Right. And he said, that was such a beautiful gift, which of course just further defined the difference, you know, like the not good fit.
Right. Right.
So then I did the deeper, I ended that relationship and I did it as graciously as I possibly could, like owning all my stuff. No, you're not a bad person. Okay. You know, you might think that about you. I don't think that of you, you know, just like, thank you. Namaste. I need to do this deep inner work, which I did, along with taking out a print of a single woman who had her back to me in my bedroom in the love corner. In feng shui, it's so great, right? To have this wisdom and then realize I get to walk the talk. Yes. And I'm on the phone with a friend. This is what's so great about letting people know what you do, because I'm a guide, I'm a student and a teacher all the time. I'm a lifelong learner, right?
Right.
And the friend who I had worked with in her home, she's like, Laura, no, seriously, what's in your bedroom? And I'm like, oh, well, there's a print of this. Oh, of a single woman.
With her back.
That's not with her back.
Oh, girl.
It's in like this natural national park, you know, wherever the photograph was taken. And I had gotten it to build that bridge. I got it in the context of the 22-year marriage, which is so interesting, right? Right. It was my environmental affirmation and bridge to my singlehood, which was great. But I really did want to have the experience of a love relationship. So I just started really doing that deeper work. You know, I made a collage of beautiful, loving images of couples laughing, having coffee, hugging, holding hands, you know, embracing, kissing one another. And I put that.
Yeah.
Well, and then I went to work journaling and, you know, flowing out all my thoughts about the kind of relationship that I actually wanted to manifest. First of all, with myself, I had to come home to myself. Oh my gosh. And I know this is a key point. Self-love. I loved myself, Peggy and Cheryl. I did, but I didn't value myself.
Yeah,
and
it's huge.
Different. Mm-hmm. It's really different. I just like at my core felt unworthy. And that's what needed to lift off and transform deep in my soul and my heart. So through this process of journaling, and then I took a transformational workshop and, you know, harmonic convergence.
Yeah.
All kinds of experiences, but I was very intentional because I knew I had to become the love and the worth and the value that I wanted to attract in another human being.
So you did that process, and then you obviously found the relationship. How long did it take from this vision-ish type board until you?
I'm trying to remember the exact time frame, but it was about, I want to say, it was several months. So from the time that relationship, yeah. so about six months.
Yeah.
And the journaling I did, they talked about 21 days to the love of your life.
Yeah. Well,
not always 21. That's well, just
Gil, you wrote it for 21 days. On day 22, you went out and burned it. So you were pretty, you took it pretty literal.
I did. Right. I took the advice very literal. I hardly remember what I wrote
down. Anyone can do anything for 21 days.
Yeah. And for 45 minutes, I set the timer for 45 minutes.
Of course you did.
Every day, and just poured my heart out. Answering these 36 questions, and almost everyone I put self-aware.
That's cool. You
know, like that's what I was becoming self-aware, and I really wanted a man who was self-aware.
Man. So online dating is just like,
I couldn't do it.
Now, when I ask these two, because we're going right to you, Mike, and we're going to you, Catherine, about what are your thoughts of the story? Is that our takeaway? Is that where we want to go right now? I mean, I know we got some relationships in the house. Mike, what are your thoughts about Laura's story when you heard this?
I love it. The whole just valuing yourself, that just says so much. And I think there are a lot of us that don't do that. And we don't even know it. And in order for somebody else to value us, we really have to, it starts with me. It starts with Laura. It starts with Catherine. Even Peggy. I think once we do value ourselves then it just kind of naturally flows. We tend to attract people that value us also.
Yeah. Shine in the light. Catherine, what are your thoughts?
Well, what I wanted to say is I can't wait to read Laura's story, and I really want to do a vision board workshop with you because I do have that little man way over in the corner that says find the perfect mate, but that's it. So, I could learn a lot from this woman, and I'll tell you, I've been on just recently ourtime.com. It's like catfish. So I can't wait to learn from you, Laura.
I mean, she took feng shui to a whole new level.
Exactly.
I mean, all I'm thinking of Buddha sitting in the corner, and I'm going, no, I don't want to do that. My bed's face north, and I'm like, gag me. And then I got, okay. So, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I love it. You got to catch her story. See, you guys, they're just, I love them because they're transparent. They're authentic stories. They're real. You get a little bit of one, and then you can go to the next one. I'm telling you guys who are listening and watching, you are going to, everybody, it's like chicken soup of the soul. You know, it's like all of those books. It's just, I know you guys have heard that. Mike, are you ready? Because I want to hear your story. Are you ready, buddy?
I'm ready. I'm just enjoying listening, so I wouldn't mind just keep doing that. But because I know my story, but yeah, I love.
Duh, we don't know your story. The world doesn't know Mike's story.
Oh, I'd love
your story.
To tell
is my, good.
Yeah,
you start out a little cranky in your story, but you do turn into a beautiful butterfly.
Yes.
All right. Let me give everybody just a heads up, and I want you to interrupt me if I get this wrong, because your bio is interesting. Okay. Mike worked for the California Department of Corrections Rehabilitation for 33 years as a program coordinator, Division of Addiction and Recovery Services, you guys. And then he continued in the drug treatment initiative at the University of California, I believe, San Diego, the Center for Criminality, which is a lovely word, and addiction research. Okay, listen, this guy's faith-based ministry in prison did all that deal. Okay, then he goes on and just says, let's go ahead and get, you know, certified and ordained, because like you had nothing else to do for a prison ministry of America. And now you're a co-author for Crappy to Happy. And your part, let's just talk about that. You're in part four of Change the Heart, Marriage and Relationships. And he's got a little quote in here. Emotional growth is a process, not an event.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, where do we start with you? Okay. Before we go to Kamert, I just want to let you know how much we have about 6 minutes. This is good, you guys. For anybody who's hosting a show, let the males know. And I know this is gender. I shouldn't do this. But let our love bugs who don't really love to talk about themselves know how many minutes they have. Ready, set, go. Mike, you have about 6 minutes. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, honey. Tell us your story.
6 minutes. All right.
Got you. Don't worry about it.
The reason I was so excited to be given the opportunity to be a part of Crappy to Happy, I read, Chaos to Clarity.
Yes.
And I know Crappy. I absolutely love the concept and the transparency, and I really value friendships. I think we all do, where you can really be real with people. The mask comes off, and I just really value that. And we all do. I know that. But then so many people are not like that, and I think us guys, right, in particular, love to talk about sports and small talk, but we kind of hide behind that. And with me, I hid behind a lot of satire and sarcasm, and I thought it was just humor at the time, but it was really cutting humor. And my whole thing was, I just had a real problem expressing emotions, receiving love, expressing love. And I didn't realize that till I got married. Getting married was my first serious relationship. And not only was I a husband now, but I was a father to a 4-year-old stepson. So right away, in very short order, my shortcomings became very, very obvious. Because I came from a background where my parents had not been in the most nurturing homes, either one of them, growing up. So they didn't bring that model to 8 of us children growing up. And I didn't realize it till later looking back, but I really feel I left home at 17 and I was really emotionally handicapped. And it wasn't till getting married years later that I realized that looking back. But like I say, marriage really brought that out in very short order. My wonderful wife, Sharon, who God has used immensely to smooth off some really rough edges in my life, what came from a very loving family and a warm emotional background. So, and her and my stepson, Sean, it seemed to me at the time that every time they left the room and came back in, they were hugging and saying, I love you.
Felt and I'm thinking,
I'm thinking, how terrible. Why can't they be normal like me? You know, it was really, it sounds odd to me now, but it was really uncomfortable for me just to express simple emotions, hugging, kissing, saying, I love you. And the more I became, realized I wasn't the husband and was not the father I wanted desperately to be, the more frustrated I got, and the more that frustration turned to anger. Seemed like I was always in a bad mood. Working in corrections really helps that, you know, it really turns you into a warm,
it's
fuzzy
such
person.
A bright, sunshiny place.
Yes. That's, so when people say I'm going to the happiest place in the world, it's normally not a prison.
Right. So true.
And the first 12 years of my career, I was in the youth authority, but working the equivalent of a correctional officer. So you're doing all kinds of things that are fairly negative. Although there's a lot of positive stuff going on too, but there's no way you come out of that environment and the stress of it without it impacting home life.
For sure.
There's no way that you can do that. Later on in my career, as I was able to promote, work different positions, I got out of that correctional officer role and more into a correctional counselor role. And then when I got the drug treatment program, I was in heaven. So things changed later on career-wise, but for me, marriage was that big testing ground, and I was failing miserably, and I just didn't have the emotional tools. And it wasn't until years later, and something I found, I think it's true in life for all of us, but it's also true in the life of a believer, as a Christian. I was not a Christian at the time. But Sharon and I, my wife, we just decided we needed to expose our son, Sean, to some sort of a church upbringing. So later in life, he can make his own decision about what path he wanted to follow. So I was working that weekend. We agreed Sharon would visit a church. She happened to go to a Baptist church. She comes home and she says, well, that was interesting. And by the way, the pastor is going to be at our house Tuesday night.
Just do this.
Yeah. So, and I said, hey, I asked you to visit a church.
Go girl.
I didn't ask you to bring the pastor over on Tuesday night to our house. So I was thoroughly thrown off by that. I had every intention. I'm going bowling Tuesday night. You made this appointment. You
right.
keep it.
Right.
I'll hear about it later on. So Tuesday night rolls around. The visit was at 7 o'clock, about 6:45. I'm walking down the hallway ready to grab my bowling ball. I never went bowling by myself in my whole life, but that night I was going to start. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and something just stopped me cold in the hallway. I mean, it was like a voice in my head, call it what you want, but there was just something said, what are you running from? And I could not answer.
Okay, I'm going to have you hold that thought. Don't run. Don't go. Man in the mirror. Can you stay right there? We're going to take a quick commercial because you're not, I'm not done with you. I'm not done with you. I want to give you time because you're on a roll. We're going to take a quick commercial. You guys, I want you to come right back. We're going to finish Mike's story, see what the other girls think about it. Then we're going to head into Catherine's. And you guys know when I get back from break, what do? We do a lightning round. And at the end of the show, we do a fad or for real and a question. So you need to come back. Talk to you soon. Be right back.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Miss any shows during the week?
No!
We've got you covered.
Yahoo!
With the free Transformation Talk radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand.
Yes!
Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit Susan's website at SusanDolce.com.
Oh, you guys, you know, the outtakes are always fun. I think we should have a show of outtakes. I'm sitting here putting on some lipstick. These guys are like, what the heck? Laura's doing some jumping jacks. All right, you guys, this is the Coach Peggy Show, and thank you so much for coming back. So we're talking crappy to happy. And as you know, we just came back from commercial, and what do? We do a lightning round. These guys have no idea what I'm doing. These are just quick questions that really don't mean anything. I just make them up as we go along. They mean absolutely nothing. So you're just going to give me just a fire answer, and we're going to hit Laura first. And so what I want to know is, would you rather be a driver or a passenger? So you're either in a vehicle. Would you rather be the driver or a passenger?
The driver.
It doesn't surprise me. Miss Online Dating is next here. Do we have control issues? You don't want to go to sleep. You want to be the driver. Okay. All right. I get you. There's no sleeping over here. All right, Mike, are you ready?
I want Laura's question.
No kidding, right? Okay, so because you want to be the driver. Guys don't like to be passengers, do they? I don't know. I don't think so. I'm doing the guy thing. I can't pick on guys. All right, so Mike, we're in the cabinet in the kitchen. Do you put your cups with the top part down or the top part up?
Top part up.
Top part up. See, I do too. What is your thought process on that,
well,
Grandpa?
When I reach in, I want the handle to be like this when I reach in to grab a cup. So it's a real practical thing.
You know, I was joking because when I was kind of thinking about these questions before we started, I said, I'm going to totally be able to come at him and go, are you OCD? But I didn't expect the handle thing. That's a good one. I have never heard that one. Okay, Catherine, we're coming at you. You've just gotten home from a trip. What are the first few things that you do?
Pee.
Guys, I can't make this up. Okay.
And, and cuddle with my dog. And, you know, remember when we used to check our answering machines, Laura? Looking for those calls from the men? We don't have to do that anymore. But
that's hysterical.
Yeah, that would be my first reaction.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just loving this. You know, my face hurts. And I know it's killing you guys. I used to say that as a joke. And my kids would say, oh, it's killing us. But it hurts from laughing. Thanks so much with you guys today. All right. So remember, we were hearing Mike's story. Mike is walking down the hallway. All of a sudden, he wants to leave. First time ever, he's deciding to bowl by himself. Because what did Sharon do? His wife decides to bring home the guy from church, the pastor, minister or pastor, because they're thinking about joining church. So, Mike, you're walking down the hallway. We want to ask the girls what they think about your story here in a second. But please tell me what happened. Finish this up for us. I'm drinking on this one.
So I'm halfway down the hallway and I hear this voice in my head saying, what are you running from? And I could not answer that question. So I decide to stay. I'm thinking, what could this guy say that could possibly hurt? But what I was really concerned about was, well, I'll get to that. But anyway, he shows up 7 o'clock and Pastor Red, Big Red, he's kind of a big guy, Pastor Red. He comes in and we do some small talk. And then he asked me, he looked at me in the eyes, he says, Mike, if you were to die tonight, and I was thinking, wow, what a pleasant thought.
And nice to meet you.
He says, do you think you'd go to heaven? And being the satirical person I was at the time, I said, yeah, I haven't robbed any banks lately, and I'm a nice guy. And then he says, well, if I could show you in your Bible where you could know that, would you be interested? And I said, sure. So we dusted off my Bible. And he has me open it up to, and I don't know what all he said that night, but I just remember one particular verse that talked about we're not saved by working our way into heaven. It's by grace through faith, what Jesus did on the cross. And all I know is he kept talking, and I was just going, hey, can we just be quiet? I want to pray because I want to become a Christian. Because a light just came on. I mean, I knew I was hearing truth.
Yeah.
Hearing truth, and I wanted to be what he was talking about because I knew what I was doing was not working.
Yeah.
And so
that's
anyway,
that's the key that you recognize that, right? He knew that something wasn't working, and kind of like when you can't run away from yourself, you know, everywhere you go, you are, and you don't even kind of want to be your own best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really profound. Time to change. You know, Sharon needs a medal. Not that you were.
Yes.
Bad dude, but in a relationship, she hung in there. I mean, you do praise her. You are so grateful. I get that. But she really loved you. She hung in there.
Oh, my. There's no doubt in my mind. God put exactly the right person in my life well before I deserved it. Not that I deserve it now. She's the strongest person I know. And I've known some pretty strong characters working in the prison for 30 years.
Right.
So we both became Christians that night, which was neat. So we started on this journey together. And one thing I wanted to mention was all the stuff, all the baggage I brought into my marriage, I thought I just had some carry-on baggage, but I had some major trunks.
Ooh, that's a nice metaphor.
And I really brought much of that same baggage and maybe even a little more into my Christian life because things just don't change overnight. Yeah, I had a power beyond myself at my disposal now, more than my willpower, but still I had that anger and I had a lot of stuff going on. So, and one thing that I know is true in life, and it's true in the Christian life also, that maturity is a choice. Maturity is a choice. I can be fairly old and be fairly immature, or I can be a Christian for quite a few years and still be in a spiritual playpen.
That's really good. Well, you're full of some metaphors tonight. I mean, you're just analogies. You're just working it. You need to write a book of 100 tips. Put it in, give Miss Laura here a call. You guys can all start this 100 tip thing. What do you guys think, Laura? What are your thoughts on Mike's story? I mean,
I think it's a beautiful story of transformation, and I would add vulnerability. You know, there's a lot of talk now about vulnerability, but that ability to speak to the imperfections in ourselves and look ourselves in the mirror and allow you know, like you allowed God into your heart. You allowed Jesus, you know, you allowed those words, just the conversation, and
super vulnerable. That's a good point.
And it's so, I would also say, so courageous of you.
Nice.
Because I would also observe that there are a lot of men who could learn a great deal from what you have to offer today. And I sure hope that they are listening, because I think a lot of women may not have the bandwidth that your wife does.
That's a good point. You know, I like that.
I just really, good. Really. I really am moved deeply.
That's
by
awesome. What are your thoughts, Catherine?
Mike, I think your story is absolutely beautiful, and I'd like to know if you have any single male friends that are just like you. That's my short response. I can't wait to read your story. I can't wait. Especially the musical talent that you apparently have behind you. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, gosh. All right, you guys, let's listen to Catherine's story, see what you guys think. This one, she is in part 6. So she is in the health and positive attitude. And I'm telling you, this girl did not give up. You are going to find a man, because you did not give up. I have every hope in the world. Everybody call me, email me, peggy@allthingswellness.com. I'll do my best. We'll hook you up. Okay. So listen, she, her quote for today, every heart has a story. Every heart has a gift. Every heart has a voice, and every heart has a purpose. What? Beautiful. Okay. So we're ready to hear a little bit about this lovely gal, aren't we? Okay, yeah. This girl, you know, talk about coming from corporate America. That's what that's what I felt when I read your stuff. So I'm not saying that you're necessarily in that setting, but when I look at being an experienced speaker and advocate for abused, you know, investigation children, okay, and then nearly 20 years in human resources, community education, community relations, public relations, fund development. I mean, talk about project oriented and making it about others. So, and she's also had to manage her own healthcare. So that's another whole system. Healthcare and medical world, that's a whole nother system. So she's creative and resourceful and passionate. And I want you guys to hear her story, because she is obviously a co-author in Crappy to Happy. So let's go, girl. Let's talk about your story.
Thank you very much, Peggy. First of all, I always have to share this because it's just who I am.
Happy. She's got a happy thing hanging up, you
and
guys.
And it's always got to have bling. So, you know, that just resonates with me so much. But
sweet.
Thank you for the introduction. I always like to start off by, you know, the very first breath that I took. I was born butt first. And I always laugh at that, because it's like, well, no wonder I turned out all back ass word, like I feel most of the time. So, you know,
literally breech. I mean, literally, yeah. You guys. So
they called it Frank Breech, which my dad's name is Frank. So I thought that was a little ironic as well. But so I spent the first couple years of my life with my legs bent up over my shoulders. For the first few months of my life. And, you know, there was a lot of complications and, you know, wearing braces and am I going to be able to walk and et cetera. But, you know, I don't remember, of course, any of that. My mom doesn't have any pictures, so kind of bummed about that. But as I went through middle school, I just struggled immensely with physical education. You know, people playing on the swings and running relay races and Red Rover, come over. And I just couldn't run and I couldn't jump and I would be so short of breath and I would end up crying because I was never picked for sporting teams. And so finally at the age of 12, because I was in the hospital several times with severe asthma attacks, a doctor diagnosed me with a heart murmur. Of course, I remember that. I can remember the setting perfectly, but didn't have any idea what that meant. So, you know, fast forward through my childhood and my teen years, when I got in my early 20s, I got a job at a local medical center. And I went for the new hire physical, and I failed. And of course, the physical was held in the emergency room. And they said I needed to be seen by a cardiologist before I could get a start date. I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, what do? You go to your 85-year-old grandpa's cardiologist because you don't know any others. And I went to the cardiologist and they cleared me for employment. So I went through all my 20s and 30s seeing a cardiologist, feeling like crap most of the time, but always having a good outlook on life, but just not able to participate in all the physical things that all my friends were doing. And just really just always knew there was something wrong. I mean, there is something wrong with me. So, you know, moving up into my 30s, I ended up getting married and had a baby. And, you know, I honestly thought that delivering this baby was going to be my death sentence. I mean, it was the worst experience I ever had in my life. And I knew that that just wasn't normal. I mean, I know people have complicated deliveries, but there was something wrong, seriously wrong. So as the years continued to go on, I'm into my 40s now, and I'm diagnosed with heart failure at the age of 42. And then I have a mini stroke, actually backing that one up to about a couple weeks after I was married, had a mini stroke, you know, and the heart failure. And then I have the edema, and then I have all these breathing issues. And then it's like one thing after the other, and I was always fainting, and I was struggling to breathe. And I remember I had a cardiologist that I was seeing every 6 months. So finally, at the age of 55, feeling absolutely like I am going to die, I was working with a life coach, and she's the Yes I Can life coach. And she says, have you ever got a second opinion? And I thought to myself, gosh, here I've worked in the hospital for 20 years. I've had the same cardiologist for 35 years. No, I haven't, because I just really trust my medical team. So I fired all of my medical staff and I went and got a new cardiologist. And within one appointment with her, she had me in the cath lab. And after I came out of that procedure, she sits down next to my mom and I in the recovery room. And she says, has anyone ever told you you have a giant hole in your heart? And I just got goosebumps saying it again.
Right.
And we're like, no. I mean, the voice that came out of my mouth was like a possessed voice.
Right.
Because it was kind of like not only a shock to hear, but how could somebody that I've been seeing for 35 years not have told me this? Well, obviously he never told it to me because he never knew about it.
Yes.
Or never saw it or never found it or failed to diagnose it, whatever.
Right.
So things fast forwarded quite a bit rapidly from that point, and I had to have open heart surgery. And I was actually really excited to have open heart surgery. I think my family was filled with anxiety and fear, but I was like, yes, this is it. I finally have an answer after 55 years why I can't breathe and why I don't have enough oxygen going to my organs. And, you know, I was on home oxygen for several years periodically throughout that time. I had three cardiac ablations where they go in and they cauterize the firing of the heart because my heart rate would go up to about 200 beats a minute and just hang there for like hours on end. So tons of cardiac interventions, but nobody ever found the hole in my heart. So open heart surgery, go in, have my surgery, biggest hole the hospital and the surgeon has ever seen. Basically, your heart is the size of your fist and the hole in my heart was 6 centimeters. So that's like nearly 3 inches of a hole in my heart. So I just felt so grateful that I survived everything that I had been through. And I did really well. And then 3 weeks later, I ended up in the ICU for a week. And I thought, I'm starting to feel really crappy again. And everything that could go wrong did go wrong. But I managed through that experience to just find the humor in everything. Like laying in the ICU on a Lasix because I have severe heart failure. I'm sitting on a commode with a blanket around me, peeing, and my boss walks in. Now we're talking a vice president of a corporation.
Yes.
I'm like, hello, you know?
Right.
And I just found humor in everything that I went through, even in the ICU. And, you know, so I love telling my story about how I struggled with all these health issues all these years. And the importance of sometimes you know in your heart, you know in your gut, that there's something else there.
Yes.
And I am so grateful that a life coach helped me walk through that to get that second opinion. Yeah. So, you know, moving forward, you know, all kinds of things happen. I was out of my job for over a year. I ended up being able to take an early retirement, you know, going on disability. And then it came one thing after the next. Now it's sleep apnea. You stop breathing 56 times an hour. Well, how come nobody could find that when I was in the hospital all these years that I don't breathe when I sleep, you know?
Right.
And then it's the deviated septum. It's like, how come nobody noticed that my nose was so crooked, you know?
Yes.
I was born with a broken arm and I had that surgery when I was 18, but it really made me connect the dots backwards to all of these things are defects. And so that's how I came up with I'm defective, not dilapidated. I don't know if you can hear that, but
I did see that.
I just, you know, I have fun sharing my story. I love the funny parts of it.
Yes.
And I always just hope that I can provide hope and inspiration to people that are dealing with health challenges. Find the funny. That's what I always do. And it's what's gotten me through everything.
It has. You know, the time is rolling and rolling so fast. And that was one of the things I wanted to make sure that I said to you, Catherine, specifically was I have also worked in the medical field for decades. And your story was so profound to me, the experience that you have had. And you guys have to read this. So Get Crappy to Happy. It's on Amazon. Today's Amazon Prime. Oh my gosh, I'm selling for Amazon. Anyway, it was so profound to me, the amount of missteps. It was so profound to me, the way you kept your sense of humor, which is obviously why you're still here today and why you had people surrounding you and loving you through that. So thank you, sister. I need to go around really quickly to you guys, and we'll do some comments in this live so people can see some more stuff going on. Mike, can you tell everybody where to find you if they want to reach out to you?
Well, probably the best place would be bizcatalyst360.com.
Nice work. Thank you for sharing today. Laura, hit us up where we can find you.
Cherishyourworld.com.
Sweet. And then Miss Catherine, let us know.
Oh, you can find me at wholeheartedcourage.com and make sure the whole is H-O-L-E.
Yes.
And you'll find books there that I'm in. You'll find all the podcast interviews that I've done, some of the public speaking that I've done. And I just love to share my story.
Absolutely. It's such a great story. You guys go play in the playground of these guys' sites, these guys', because that's fantastic English, which my mother would be so proud of, the guys'. We're going to take a break. Come on back to Fat or For Real and a question. You're listening to the Coach Peggy Show. Talk to you really soon.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year We got it. Show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Hey, everybody, how are you doing? You are coming back, aren't you? This is the Coach Peggy Show. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to talk about fad or for real. So what do I do? I usually look at a product or I look at some sort of diet or something crazy out there. And I give you the gavel, whether it is for real or if it's just a fad. And guess what we're going to talk about today? Sauna suits. You know, those suits that you can put on that look like aluminum foil back in the day. So I want to talk to you about a little bit of history. I had no idea. This stuff has been going on since Roman times and Turkish spas. And I can't even make this stuff up, forever and a day. And I thought it was just Kim Kardashian that started it. I'm not kidding. 2017, I think 18, couple years ago, where her and her sister, Chloe, it was all the rage where they were wearing these sauna suits. Yeah, so they could what? Lose weight. Let's talk about that. So what are the suits made out of? Back in the day, they were made out of rubber. Now they're made out of a lot more like PVC type materials. They're waterproof, obviously. For those of you who do not know what a sauna suit is, which I would find it very surprising, they actually heat up your body, some of them 150 to 195 degrees, which is quite alarming when our temperature is 98.6. The intent is to heat up the body, make you sweat. Why? Because when it cranks your temperature, your metabolism goes just like this. They are used, as you know, by wrestlers and football players, you know, to get rid of some of that water weight. That's really all it's going to do, you guys. There isn't any study out there. University of Colorado thinks they got their hand on some that shows you lose some fat. I'm going to argue with it a little bit. I want you to really be careful. Think about a few things. If you have high blood pressure, if you have anything that causes any risk whatsoever, you need to think about it. It feels almost like a heat stroke. So if you're wearing that coat or those pants out there while you're working out at the gym, if you still want to do it, you need to hydrate super. You might need to break up your workout. And just think about the Kardashians. They need to stick to what they really do and stop trying to put this fad, because yes, it's getting the gavel of a fad. That's what I think it is. It is not for real. Please protect yourself and do not go out there and buy one of these sauna suits. Muhammad Ali did it, but okay, do not do it. All right, let's talk about a question really quickly. I had a question a little bit ago that reminded me of this exact fad or for real. So let me hit this, come at you really quickly with this. I had a client years ago. If you've seen my happy hours, I talked about this client. She was a semi-pro swimmer. She absolutely did not want to cross train. And I pulled her out of the pool and I said, girl, got to cross train. So I remember putting her on the elliptical machine and trying to really push her intensity. You know, good trainers reach across, push those buttons, and she hated it. Pissed, hated me. We, long story short, learned that what I call the crossover, when you're on land, because remember, she was a swimmer, so when you're wet, you don't notice you're sweating as much. You guys know that. But when you're on land, what I call is the crossover is some people just don't like to sweat. And that's that crossover from when you are, your heart rate's kind of down and you haven't quite broken that sweat and you just really don't quite want to. You keep yourself ceilinged, you keep your heart rate down a little bit. So if you can learn to cross over, break that sweat, you'll kick into kind of that runner's high. Here's some suggestions. If you hate to sweat, take a shower before you go work out. That's what I did to my lovely Jessica. Go take a shower, wear a wet headband, anything that can get you kind of wet, making you think you've sweat. And also maybe think of the sweat as a reward. So I used to make her sweat when she was on her own, wring out the shirt, send me a picture of it. Yeah, That's kind of what I did. All right, so I'm going to let you go. That is the question. Sweat is the reward. You guys saw my lovely guests here today. I want to thank Catherine. I want to thank Laura. And I want to thank Mike for stopping by. Next Tuesday, I'm going to be right back at you. And I'm coming back next week. Episode 3, we've got Lori Lynn Rizzo. And we've got Reverend Dr. Temple Hayes and Dr. Ann Worth. You do not want to miss those three guests. We're talking transgender. We're talking gay community. Seriously, we're talking about alcoholism. We're talking about Jesus. And I'm going to let you go. And I've had so much fun being with you. I love you, mean it. And you've been on the Coach Peggy Show. Bye.
You've been listening to the Coach Peggy Show. All things wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. Tune in live the first and third Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Coach Peggy talks all things wellness, not just nutrition and fitness, but about all things, about your money, your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. The Coach Peggy Show, bold, badass, and never half in. For more information or to connect with Coach Peggy, visit allthingswellness.com. Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.